Now by a former NHL player, former NHL coach. He was just hired as the head coach for Canada at the upcoming World Championships. Gerard Gallant joins us. Gerard, welcome back to the show, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. You're an intense player, Gerard. You've have a great reputation from players that have coached you that they love playing for you. You're kind of like a player's coach. How are you at recruiting? Because when you're the coach of the Canadian national team, I'm guessing part of it's a little bit of recruiting. How's that going to go?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a challenge for sure. I mean, obviously, we know what's going on in the world today, and players are having a tough, long season. So we're going to do the best we can. I know when they called me up and asked me if I was willing to be the coach, it's no hesitation. I mean, anytime you get a chance to work for Team Canada and represent your country, it's a great thing. And, you know, there's going to be some challenges, but, we're going to go over there, and I'm sure we're going to get a real good hockey team together and go over there and try and win a gold medal. That's the objective of the whole thing, and it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
When you try to build a team like this, it's very different than building a team in the regular season because, A, you get to pick whoever you want, obviously. Do you expect to maybe have a little bit of a younger team considering what's going on in the world and maybe players who haven't been around their family might be saying not this year?
Yeah, no, you know what? I mean, when I talk with the management, Roberto Luongo and Shane Doan and Scott Salmon, you know, they're trying to put things together. And, you know, you go through – maybe 100 hockey players. You look at the list and you put your A choices, B choices, C choices, and you hope you come out with the best. And like I said, there's guys who have some injuries at the end of the season. They can't go because of injuries. Guys just don't really want to go at the end of the season sometimes, especially with this year. But again, the majority of the guys, they're going to say, you know what, I'd love to go represent my country, and hopefully things go real well over there. And some guys have a tough year, and it's a chance for them to rebound and come back to having a good year and leaving a good positive note. And then there's the guys that's going to be, some young players get an opportunity to go over there and, put a challenge in, make people on the Olympic roster for next year say, you know what, these kids are good. They might deserve a look at, come to next year and when there's a training camp coming, and they're going to look at some of those young players. So there's all different reasons for guys going over there, and hopefully we'll get a lot of good hockey players to go.
Now, when you're trying to build the team, how do you go about saying this is the type of team I want to play our team to play this way? But is it more difficult to do that with just so many questions this year for so many different reasons?
I don't think it's as a coach, you're going to go over there and we're going to put our system package together and let's go play. Let's go have fun over there. Let's work hard and go play over there. And, no matter what players we're going to bring over there, we're going to have a good, solid team. I mean, it's the World Championships. I think every team's going to have a bit of a challenge this year. But we're going to go over there with a solid team, and we'll, as a coaching staff, we'll put our system together. We've got 3 days to practice and get ready for their first game. So I think you build off it every day over there. You go over the first day, and you get some things done. Day two, you'll get some more things done. And I think guys will go over there, and they'll have fun. So it'll be a challenge, but we'll go over there and have fun like any other team that's going to be there.
Gerard Gallant joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Gerard, for you yourself, how much of this is you want to stay involved in hockey? We've seen tons of coaches who go over there, and this leads to getting back into the National Hockey League. And is that part of this for you, or is it just you just want to be coaching? And hey, if it leads to an NHL job, great, but that's kind of second part of this equation for you.
Well, it wasn't my thinking for the last 6 months. I never thought about coaching Team Canada. When Luongo called me, it was the first time I really thought about being part of Team Canada. I didn't even know the tournament was still going to be going on, to be honest with you. So, I mean, I'm trying to get back in the NHL coaching again. Obviously, that's the number one goal for me. I mean, it's been a tough go here for the last 15 months with the COVID and, not many changes going on. And that's fine. But, come this year, I'm hoping I get an opportunity to go back and be behind another NHL bench. But this is going to be good because, like I said, you get an opportunity to go over there, work with some good coaches, with some good people. We're going to have a good hockey team over there. So it gets your feet back, you get your feet wet again, and, you get back at doing what you love to do. And, like I said, it'll be 3 weeks of coaching over there, and I'm looking forward to it.
When you're kind of in this time of transition for you, do you watch the games in a different way than you would if you were an active coach?
You know what? I said it today to somebody. I said, we've watched so many different games. I mean, every night you're watching games, but there's not a lot you can do with the COVID world right now. So you watch two or three games a day, and some games I'll just watch as a fan. I'll just sit there and watch as a fan, and then there's other games where you'll have your notebook out and you're taking system stuff down at, oh, you like what this team does, or, you know, they like that breakout, or you like that power play unit. So you'll take some notes and mark some clips. And so you do a little bit of both, for sure.
When you're watching, Gerard, do you watch Vegas and Florida closer or not at all? Because you've been connected to both.
You know what? The Florida thing's sort of in the past. Vegas still seems a little bit fresh.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, I had a great run there. I mean, the players are great there. We have a great organization there. So everything was real good. It's just, except for getting fired, everything was perfect there. So I have, you know, I still have a tough time to watch them, to be totally honest with you. You know, it's still fresh.
No,
Florida, no issues. No, I can watch Florida now. And
I appreciate your honesty. I would agree. Because I think a lot of us were kind of surprised, especially all Vegas did was have success. I want to go back to that, Gerard. Like, when you took that job, and you, like, go back to that year. Like, when did you know as a coach, like I think we got something here? Like, how early was it in that first year? Because what you did as a coach in Vegas, I don't think is ever going to repeat it. Like, no offense to Seattle. I don't care who. Like, you might get the Seattle job. I'm sure they're going to say, geez, maybe we should get this guy in. He knows what he's doing with expansion teams. But, like, that's going to be virtually impossible to replicate.
Yeah, it's going to be. I mean, it was a dream season. We never thought, like, even when we went through training camp, we knew we had a decent competitive team, but we never thought of, you know, we weren't thinking playoffs, or we weren't thinking, we were trying to be competitive every night. And then, you know what, the first 8 games, I think we went 7-1, and we played good hockey. Like, we didn't win. I mean, Fleury stole a couple of those games for us early on, but we just built confidence from the first 7 or 8 games. And then the guys thought, well, you know what, we got a pretty good team. We can play with anybody in this league. And then all of a sudden, there was a road trip that we went on. It was Dallas and Nashville back-to-back, and they're both really good teams at that time. And we went in and beat both those teams. We just didn't win it by goaltending. We went in there and we played really well, and with good, solid games. And we beat both those teams. And I think at that point of the season, it was probably early December or January, somewhere in that area. And that's the first time I really said to myself, you know what, there's not many better teams in this league than us, if there's any. And, you know, we felt pretty good about our group. And I know the group felt real good at that time, too, because that was a big road trip, and we talked about it, and we went in there, and we won both of those games. So that was probably the first time.
Gerard, how does the leadership group evolve inside when, you know, there's a bunch of characters coming together? How did you see that evolving for that first-year team?
Oh, there were some key guys. I mean, Derek Eggman was a real key guy. Marc-Andre Fleury was a real key guy. James Neal was a different personality. David Perron. So there was a lot of different guys coming in. But you know what? Marc-Andre Fleury was definitely the leader of that group, and Derek Eggman. And it was huge for us to have that leadership. And Pierre-Edward Bellemare. We had a bunch of good guys that, you know, they were a little pissed off. A lot of those guys didn't want to leave their other teams. But as soon as they got to Vegas, and as soon as they went through training camp, and as soon as they seen the city, they were real happy to be there. So at first it was a little bit, you know, not being happy, but it didn't take long for those guys to love the city of Vegas and love that team.
Gerard Gallant joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. He's the head coach for Canada at the upcoming World Championship. So, Gerard, how is it going to work as far as, you know, quarantine? You have to go over there. Do you have to quarantine for a short period of time? What's the process going to be at the World Championships this year?
Yeah, I mean, we leave from Newark on the 16th, Newark, New Jersey. We're flying over there. And then I think we have to stay in quarantine for 2 days in our hotel. In each your own room, and then the third day we can get together as our team and start to, you know, play in the bubble and be a part of the bubble. So then we can start 3 days of practices, and then the tournament starts there. So it's you got to do some quarantining before we leave, and then like I said, once we get to the airport and we fly over there, then you got 2 more days of quarantine when you get there, and then you get to be able to start practicing and get in the bubble, and then you go back and forth from the arena to the hotel, basically.
Gerard, I want to ask you because...
Go
ahead, Stretz.
Go ahead, buddy. No, go ahead. It's good.
I wanted to ask you, Gerard, as we're watching Connor McDavid have a ridiculous season, back in 1988-89, you were playing with a young lad by the name of Steve Yzerman, who scored 155 points, had 65 goals. You were second on the team. You had 230 PIMs, 39 goals, 93 points. So I think you know you had a front row seat to like elite level talent. And you look at what McDavid's doing today, and you know there was way more goals back in the 80s and 90s than there are now. As a former player, maybe removing the coach from you, like, what do you see when you watch McDavid? What do you marvel at the most?
It's just incredible how he can take the puck and just go from one end to the other. And you know what? When he picks it up, you're going to say he's going to beat all five of those guys. I mean, he's just incredible. Like the speed of that guy. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon's it's very similar. He's a powerful speed, and McDavid's he's a jet speed. He just takes off. But he's just so good. Like, I mean, you watch every night and you say, this guy is incredible. Like, How did he play in this league? He's just another level of NHL player. He's a superstar. He's a great player to watch every night, and he's great for our league. So, there's a handful of really great players, but this guy is really, really special.
Gerard, how many times a game would you walk down to the defense end and say, hey, guys, you got to stand up on that guy. Keep your gap tight.
Yeah, Jason would love to keep a tight gap with him.
It's amazing. Like I watch it, and you know what, buddy, you see those guys, like those poor D-men, like the other night Tucker Poolman chasing him down on that breakaway, like they could have skated from Edmonton to Ottawa. He's never catching that guy, you know what I mean? Like, as a D-man, like that'd be my worst nightmare. I'd rather fight some animal than have to have that guy come down on me and just embarrass me, because it's almost like he's playing with 9-year-old kids.
No, it really is. He's so fast and so quick. And, you know, he goes from side to side. His lateral movement's incredible. And like you said, the only guy I could think of for all those years that could probably keep up with him close would be Paul Coffey, you know, and he'd have to be skating forward, too. So it's just, this guy's just going so fast.
So how would, as a coach, you obviously coached against him, right? But McDavid now, like, he's even better than he was, you know, when you were coaching. So, what? How do you game plan? Is it all, as a coach, you're just like, well, I'm expecting one of my guys to get beat at some point, so I can't really get upset about him because they could be in the right position and he still beats them. So is it simply that you've got to, you talked about the jet speed. Is it simply you can't let him get up to speed? And if so, how do you do that in either the neutral zone or even high in the offense, in the defensive zone? How do you limit a guy like that?
Well, that's what I think a lot of teams are doing when they do have a little bit of success. And then still, like, you can't do it all the time because you get called for interference penalties and that. But somebody who usually goes down and swings low with them and tries to pick up the speed before he picks up the puck, and either in the neutral zone or in his own zone when he builds up speed from that. But he's just so quick, and, you know, guys, and his line mates know, you know, they know where to get him the puck. The defensemen are moving the puck off the boards. They redirect pucks to him, and he just picks it up with speed. And like I said, you can neutralize him some nights and slow him down a bit, but it's not an easy job. And a lot of coaches around the league are trying to do it, but it's not easy to slow this guy down. I mean, Montreal's done a pretty good job of it. The games I watched them play there, they played them three times in a row, but again, the third night he gets two or three assists against him, and, you know, he just finds ways to get points, and he gets open. And like I said, when he's working and skating like he always does and he's not tired, it's pretty tough to stop him.
Now, how do you think that the playoffs will play out, considering that no one's played each other outside of the groups in there, whether it's the North or East or whatever division? Does that make it a little bit more unpredictable heading into that Final Four, Gerard?
I agree 100%. It's really going to be tough because like you said, you know, you look at the North Division or the different divisions and you say, you know what, that's a really competitive division, but they're playing amongst each other all the time, and it's really hard to tell. I mean, I think Toronto's a real good team, but, you know, when they're going to play Colorado or Vegas, how are they going to match up to them, or St. Louis, or whoever they're going to play, Minnesota, and that, you know, whatever happens there. I think it's going to be real tough and going to be real interesting. Obviously, there's no advantage to either team, but I'm. It's going to be interesting. It really is. And I'd like to say, I know, but usually it's going to pan out because, you know, that it's only 1 year we're doing this. But I think, you know, the
obviously, like everybody else, Colorado and Vegas are real strong teams up in that division, and you know they're playing really well right now. So it's going to be a battle. But you know, and then you look at Washington. You know, there's so many good teams, and you know it's hard. It's going to be hard to predict who's going to win the Stanley Cup because there's a lot of real good teams out there.
Gerard Gallant joins us now. Gerard, you know, you do a lot of game planning. These teams this year, they face each other, well, in the North, it's 9 or 10 times. In the other divisions, it's 8 times. Now you're going to get to the playoffs. So you're talking about, you're getting to game 10, 12, 14, maybe 15 against these teams. How much is it easier as a coach because you've seen them so often that you have more film, or does it become harder because you start looking for things that maybe you don't think are there?
Well, I think it's easier. Obviously, with your preparation work, you've seen these guys so much. It's easier if you win a majority of the games. But if you're losing those games, you're saying, how do we find ways to, you know, do something a little bit different against these guys? But, I remember when we played, we used to play, I think, back in the North Division against Toronto and Chicago and St. Louis. I think we played them 6 or 8 times a year. And then, you know, you went to the playoffs and you played them the best 4-7 in that series, too. So when you think back of it, there was a lot more fights in our day, obviously, too. But there was just a bit of rivalry. And I think we're seeing that this year, too, with teams playing 2 or 3 games in a row against each other. The games are a little chippier and there's a little, few more fightings going on. So it's going to be a battle. But I think as a coach, you know, you can only see those certain teams so often and you get prepared for them. But it's the same for the other coach on the other side. He, you know, he sees the special plays that you guys are doing, your face-off plays, your breakout systems and that. So it's little adjustments between periods that make a difference in the game sometimes.
Well, Gerard, congratulations on getting the job with Hockey Canada. Enjoy that, and hopefully we see you back in the NHL very soon.
Oh, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Nice talking with you.